And now let us gather together around a reading of God's Word. Today, as I said, it's in Psalm 42, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 11. Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. And once again, may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. Now, let me give you a little setup of this particular chapter in Psalm. Some people think that this was actually written while Israel was in exile in Babylon, hence the disconnect from Jerusalem. Also remember that in that particular time, that particular era of history, there was a limited understanding of the everywhere ability of God to be able to be. And so there was a thinking that because God's Spirit symbolically dwelt in there in the temple, in the tabernacle, if you remember that account in Scripture, that is where God's presence was. And so when this author, this psalmist, was separated from Jerusalem, then he felt a sense of disconnect. He felt a sense of loss because he was not able to go and worship. It was like us being cut off from our church and not being able to go back to it and not being able to worship God there. And so he felt that sense of loss. But there's a deeper sense here and a deeper meaning that I hope to get out from this particular passage today. But I want you to take note, too, that in a psalm such as this, there is an expression of anguish, an expression of grief. In Job 6, it says, "Do you think you can reprove words when the speech of a despairing man is wind?" Now, what it means by that is that one caught up in some deep emotional pain, everything that person says can't be taken seriously all the time, because there are words that are coming out of that deep emotional state, that pain, and they're filled with questions from a breaking heart. So this is what we are encountering today, and the type of prose that we are encountering here in this particular passage. So I want you to sort of have that in mind as we're going through here. Here is someone who is in a deep emotional state and sense of loss. And so he is grieving in one sense, but he is also expressing a repeated and steadfast desire to hold on to God, to keep Him in contact. So the first thing that I want you to see here is that a thirsty soul is satisfied only by living water. He calls it here a deer panting for flowing streams. Every time I read that particular scripture, I think back to a dear friend of Mary's and mine from another church, and she was an elderly lady, and we had had that, there was a song, I can't remember the name of the song, but there's a lyric in it, "As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you." I forget that some of you musicians may...
As a deer.
As a deer.
As a deer.
As the deer. That's the name of the song, yeah, As the Deer. And so she said, I don't pant. So, but the meaning here, of course, is that there is a deep desire, there's a deep thirst. And so that deer knows that there is, it can only relinquish that thirst by the flowing stream, by the living water. Now, the freshness of running water there is the point of what it's talking about there, the flowing streams. Remember, Jesus called himself the giver of living water. And he told the woman at the well that if you knew who you were talking to, you'd know that you could come to me and you would get living water. It wouldn't be the pool of water that she was drawing from out of that well, which would be not what Scripture calls the running or the living water. But he's saying the living water. So the thought behind that is that it is a continual fresh supply of what is needed to continue on in the journey, what is needed to refresh you, what is needed to strengthen you. So just remember that when you encounter that term of living water in Scripture, or running water, or flowing streams, anything that leads to that type of thought within your mind, it's the thought behind it is that it's a continual fresh supply. Now, he's saying here that his soul is thirsting for God, for the living God. He knows that only God can satisfy this thirst that's within him, because that is what he desires. That is what he needs within his life right now. As that very thirsty animal needs to be refreshed by that clean, flowing stream, the psalmist knows that it is only God that can meet this need that he has right now, because that is who he feels like he is missing in his life. He is missing God. He's disconnected from him. Life circumstances have placed him somewhere where he cannot worship as he feels that he needs to there. And as I said, we may not be physically disconnected from God, but there are a lot of times in our lives where we feel like God is not there, or God maybe has placed us upon a shelf, or God has forgotten us. Many thoughts run through our minds in different times during our lives when we are in the midst of deep emotional pain. And these are some of the thoughts that can run through our hearts and minds during those times. Those same thoughts that this man, this author of the psalm, is experiencing here. Despairing hunger wants to be satisfied with more despair. He says here that his tears have been my food day and night. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? My tears have been my food day and night. Well, when we are in a sense, a state of despair, as this man is, there is a danger, if you will, that we can start using those tears, as he calls it here, and this in very good example, we can start using those tears as our food, as our sustenance. Misery and fear feed off themselves, and they can become stronger within us as they feed off of that continued misery, as they feed off that continued fear. The more we allow something to become a part of our life, the stronger it becomes within us. And misery, fear, despair, all of these emotions can become so ingrained within us that we begin to feed off of them, and they become, in a sense, our God. Misery and fear, the longer we allow them within our lives, the stronger they become. And this man has reached a place where he feels like he is in danger of his tears becoming his food. That's what he's living off of, the woe and the pain that he is feeling. Our tears, in a sense, mock our faith, because they ask, where is your deliverer? Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. Tears are not all bad. As I like to say, we have tear ducts for a reason. There's nothing wrong with a good cleansing cry. I often tell people, if you're too embarrassed to cry in public, then go find your closet, go have yourself a good cry, get it out. Sometimes that's what we need. That's what God has built into us. And there is nothing wrong with tears in and of themselves. But the danger that comes in here is when the tears then are becoming part of who we are. And we are living more on the misery, we're living more on the pain that we are experiencing than we are actually trying to seek our comfort in God. We overcome the power of tears by remembering the goodness of God. Remember, I told you that faith is built not looking into the future, but faith is built by looking toward the past and remembering the things that God has done for us as we have lived our lives. God holds the future, but we control how we view the past. Let me repeat that. God holds the future, but we control how we view the past. Do we see God placing hardship in our lives, or do we see God's strong hand guiding us through it to strengthen us? It's all about how we view God. It's all about how we view the circumstances that we have gone through, the circumstances we may be going through now. In a little bit, we'll talk about, I want you to notice and don't miss where he says in verse 7, all your breakers and all your waves. So keep that thought in mind for just a moment there. But as God holds on to that future, we control how we view the past. Do we see God as a good God that's been there with us? If you remember that little poem, some of you may have it on your walls now, about footprints in the sand. And the person has had the dream and they saw the footprints on the beach and they noticed that in times of struggle that there was only one set of footprints. You remember that poem? And they're asking God, they're questioning, which is what this man is doing. And that's fine to question God. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But he's questioning God. He wants to know that whenever there was toil or struggle, whenever there was times of heartache, why was there only one set of footprints? And you know the end of that poem is, it was then that I was carrying you. As I like to remind all of us, sometimes when we are in the midst of heartache and struggle and pain and sorrow, all we see is that event. It's like that huge tree standing in front of us. And we can't see God being there because we're so overcome by the immensity of this huge tree that we see standing in front of us. And this man here is despairing, and he's saying that I'm feeding on my tears. They're so much a part of me now that they're actually my source of comfort, and I'm in danger of not coming to God for what I need. But he says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how he would go and worship and how he would hear glad shouts and songs of praise. Faith is built looking at the past, not looking at the future. So he is remembering those good times now when he's in the midst of hardship, when he's in the midst of struggle and turmoil. He is remembering those good times to help him through these hard times that he is in. Do we see God placing that hardship upon us? Do we see his strong hand there, guiding us through it, giving us the strength that we need to be delivered from this thing, whatever it is? It's all about how we view God. Is he a good God who knows how to give good gifts to his children? Or do we see him as some tyrant within our lives that likes to see us struggle, that likes to have bad things come upon us? There's comfort in knowing that Christ is in, there's comfort in knowing that God is in our lives. Excuse me. Even in the times of turmoil. He says here in verse 7, I want you to come back to that. Deep calls to deep. This is a part of where it just feels like the whole ocean is upon his shoulders here. And all of the waterfalls of strife and the turmoil and the chaos of life is just upon him. That's how much he is in despair. That's how much he is in sadness and pain and hurt and sorrow here. But I want you to notice, as I said before, he says he calls them your breakers and your waves. Even in our troubles, we must know that God is in control. Even in our troubles, we must know that God is in control. And that brings up our thought for today. And this thought for today is with respect to Nancy Guthrie that we'll talk about here in just a little bit. But I can trust God with all the heartache this world can give to me. I can trust God with all the heartache this world has given to me. But at verse 7, he's reminding himself that this is all about God. He said, all your breakers, all your waves have gone over me. But he's not ridiculing God. He's not angry at God. He's not shaking his fist in front of God's face. He's saying, God, I am here. I am in your will. I am your servant. I love you. I know that you are a good God. I want to express my joy for you, but this agony that I am in is just overcoming me. It's overpowering me. In verse 8, he talks about the blessing of God's love as being experienced in good times, and it will be remembered with joy in the darkness of trouble. Notice what he says here. By the day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. That's symbolism about good times and bad times. In the day, God commands his love and his blessings. And so when things are going good, it's easy for us to see God's blessings around us. It's easy for us to hang on to the goodness of God when things are going well within our lives. But when the night comes, can we give that song? Can we be singers of God's joy? Can we be singers of God's goodness when the bad times come? If we have enjoyed him in the good, can we also enjoy him in the bad? Can we see his goodness when things are going well and then discredit him when things are going bad? Shake our fists, blame him, ask why we have been deserted. This man is saying that even at night, even in the darkness of trouble, I will sing my song to you. Notice what he's doing here. He's fighting back against this. He's not giving in to this depression. He's continuing to fight back against this. And that's something I don't want any of us to lose sight of here and not see what's going on. This depression is wanting to come in upon him. This despair is wanting to come in upon him. And he's fighting back against it with the power of God. He's remembering the goodness of God. He's calling upon the name of God to give him this joy, to help him to remember those good times, to help him to stand up under this despair that he is feeling now in this moment. And so he's not just succumbing to it. He's not just giving up and letting the weight of the water of the world and all of the troubles just beat him up. He's trying to stand within this. He's trying to stand within this. And he calls God his rock. He calls God his rock. Our enemies are found both outside of us and inside of us. As I said earlier, the more we give in to despair, the stronger it gets within us. And we start to feed off of it almost. Faith is a product of the mind that is submitted to God. In Romans 12, we remember that very well-known verse, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How we handle adversity is a test of how well we are submitted to the how well we have submitted our mind over to the to God's control, if you will. If you'll accept that for a moment. How well we have submitted ourselves to being led and guided by God and worshiping him and his goodness in the good times as well as the bad. And this particular verse in Romans reminds us that it is a mind thing here. It is a mind thing. We like to say heart, but it's the mind. Is our mind in a place where we are able to say, God, all of this belongs to you. All of this is under your control. And I am standing with you because you have not forgotten me. You have not forgotten me. I am still your child. I still look to you as my good father. And even though I'm in the midst of this pain, even though I'm in the midst of these questions, even though I'm in the midst of this uncertainty, Father, I know that you are larger than this tree of doubt that's in front of me. And I know that you are here with me. If you want to use that poem, I know that you're carrying me on your back through this time. It's okay to question God as long as those questions lead us back to Him. We can ask those why questions as long as we are sitting on that rock. You remember that painting that was around for a while? I don't know how long it's been now. Some of you may have seen it, but the artist had constructed this, had painted a picture, and it was a terrible storm going on, and the ocean waves were crashing, and there was this ledge sticking out, and the waves were crashing against the ledge and against the rocks surrounding it. And right here, nestled under that ledge in a little cavity, was a little child playing. And that particular part of the painting was a little brighter than all of the other chaos going on. And so it was an expression by that artist to let us know that that is the rock that we call. That is what I was talking with the children about, coming into the little chicks running to the hen and being covered by the wings. What did Jesus cry out to Jerusalem? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, how I would have longed to cover you with my wings like a mother hen. But you wouldn't come to me. I'm paraphrasing. You wouldn't come to me. This series, if you want to call it that, of what we've been sharing, there's a consistent theme that it's all about faith. It's all about faith. How do we see God? Who do we run to when times of struggle and pain come? Who do we see as our source of strength? Who do we see as our rock? He says here that the enemy taunts hurt him like a blow to my bones. Many people sit around and they wait for a Christian to fail. And they taunt and they make fun and they point fingers, say, see, I knew you're no better than I am. And the whole world lights up when a pastor falls hard. The whole world gets a belly full of, well, this pastor was involved in this, and that pastor was involved in that, and see, they're no better than we are, and look at them. They preach all of this stuff, and over here they're being worse than I am. And the taunts and the smears make us question. I don't have answers when things happen to little children, tragic things. I struggle with that the same as you. And this man here is struggling with things that he doesn't know why it's happened. He's been put in a place that he is struggling to stand up under. And he's battling against the feelings. And the taunts of his enemy, he says, it hurt like a blow to my bones. Now think about what he's saying there. What is the bones, what do the bones give to our bodies? Our bones furnish the foundation. It is the structure of our bodies that everything else hangs upon. And so what he's saying here, these blows are hitting me and it's striking at the foundation of my faith. And they keep hammering and hammering and hammering. And I'm doing my best to stand up under this, and I want to call you, and I want to know that you're still my rock and that you're still there. You are my rock. But these taunts, these attacks of the enemy are hurting, and in tragedy the world wants to ask, where was God? How many times is that question asked when the towers fell in New York? How many times were the questions asked when little children are found cast away in the woods? How many times are questions asked when women run to shelters and they ask, why did not God stop this thing? How many times is that question asked? And that's what hammers away at the foundation. And it keeps hammering and hammering and hammering and hammering. And so The enemy's taunts there can cause us to question our God. But in that questioning, we have to be mindful that those questions are those that lead us back to Him and not away from Him. I mentioned Nancy Guthrie earlier. She had an article that I read. I've got a quote here from her. Let me set it up for just a moment. John Dodd's going through loss today. He seems like he's handling it very well in the times I've spoken with him. He's a very strong man of faith. But we go through those times in our lives where we experience loss, despair, tragedy. And you know, we all try to make each other feel better. And so her article was one where people say things sometimes because they don't know what else to say. And they'll say, well, he or she's in a better place, or he or she was too good for the world, so God took them out of it. You've heard those kind of things said before. Well, here's what Guthrie says about those kinds of times. She says, we can offer those kinds of words, but when we are the ones who are grieving, what is far more important than what other people say to us is what we say to ourselves. Now remember, I'm making the point, this man is talking to himself throughout this whole song, and he's battling against all these feelings of loss and darkness that want to crowd in upon him, and the taunts of the enemy. He's battling against them. So she is saying, what is far more important than what other people say to us is what we say to ourselves. What we say to ourselves in between sobs, when we have more questions than answers, when the emptiness feels overwhelming, when anger is getting a foothold in our heart, when the grief is fresh and intense, we might take some wild ideas for a test drive. That's those expressions of trying to offer compassion that I talked to you about. She said, we might take some of those kind of ideas for a test drive, but to move toward healing and return to joy requires what we press this one idea, that we press this one idea deeply into our souls until it begins to impact us at the level of our feelings. And this is the idea. I can trust God with this. I can trust God with this. What I want you to see in this psalm as we close is the way this psalmist handled his pain. He didn't let it overcome him. He didn't let it drive him, but he did let it drive him to God. And that's what our darkness, our despairs, sometimes even by God's own design, can do. And that's not drive us away from Him, but drive us to Him. When the danger comes in and those little chicks are feeling that danger and they run back to mama because they know in mama they have peace, in mama they have safety, in mama they have protection, and they know that. Their idea of mama is that she's bigger than anything in the world. And that's what his idea of God was. And that's what I'm hoping that your idea of God is now, in all the stuff of life that you're facing, that you can run to Him as your rock and know that He's bigger than anything in this life that you're facing. There's nothing in this life that is bigger than what we have in God. It is only in that Godhead that we can find the comfort of the living water under the shelter of the rock to give us the strength and protection we need to stand firm in the love of God amidst all the struggles and heartaches and darkness and tragedy and brokenness that this world has to offer. So remember, I can trust God with all the heartache this world can give to me. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day thanking you that you are our rock, thanking you that in Christ we have the living water, that which encourages, that which nourishes, that which drives us closer to you. And Father, may we always remember that underneath your wings we can find the peace, the security, the comfort, the encouragement, the nourishment, all that we need to stand against the blows of our enemy who hammers at the foundation of our faith, hammering and hammering away, where is your God? Why has he allowed this to happen? Why has he not delivered you? May all of those questions be handled with the sincereness of, I can trust God with this. Whatever it is, I can trust you with this. This is our prayer and our hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.